Hello and welcome to Politics War Room with James Carville, and I'm Al Hunt. This week, our guest is a champion of good government and a fighter of corruption for so many years, Fred Wertheimer. Remember, we love taking your questions. So write to politicswarroom@gmail.com for next week's show. We'll get to as many as we can, but don't forget to tell us where you're from. You can also get text updates about what's next for Politicon and Politics War Room by signing up at politicon.com. So tell your friends about us and remind them to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. Also, please check out the links to our sponsors, Mint Mobile, Delete Me, and Miracle Made in our episode show notes. We thank you for supporting these sponsors because it really helps make this podcast happen. Hey, James, if there was any doubt, and we may have had a few, that Trump owned the Republican Party. It's the Trump Party, not the Republican Party. It was dispelled. He knocked off Indiana state senators who had the audacity not to go along with his gerrymandering gambit. In your state, conservative Republican Bill Cassidy was soundly defeated when Trump came out against him. Kentucky Congressman Thomas Massie, who stood up to Trump stonewalling the Jeffrey Epstein sexual assault scandal, was clobbered in the primary. As Lindsey Graham, ever eager to please, said of the boss man, it's his party. You know, all right, great. Lindsey, I hope you're happy and all the people who defeated Bill Cassidy and Thomas Massie and others. There's a flip side to this. Allegiance to Trump is going to hurt most candidates in any competitive general election. And Bill Cassidy, Tom Tillis, and maybe Cornyn could well provide decisive votes selectively against some of the greater outrages that Trump is trying to perpetrate. But, you know, I think the most fitting Trump embrace this week was not Louisiana or not even Kentucky. It was when he stiffed Texas Senator John Cornyn, who had just proposed naming a highway after him, and instead endorsed his Trump's moral soulmate, Ken Paxton, the attorney general. James, 25 seconds on Paxton. He's been indicted twice, was impeached by the Texas Republican House. Eight of his aides in the attorney general's office accused him of bribery, taking care of a contributor who gave a job to Paxton's mistress. This is all out in the public. Later, his wife filed for divorce on adultery grounds with another mistress. The National Republican Senate Committee called him crooked, and after he won, another Republican senator said he's a felon. He's going to win the primary, but I'll tell you, the betting markets now are moving closer to Democrat James Tallarico to win in the fall. So, all right, good couple weeks for Trump. It'll prove to be a bad couple months come November.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good couple of weeks, but what we know, what polling tells us in the Republican Party, but people need to remember, his disapproval among Republicans is rising. It's approaching somewhere between 15% and 20% in an environment where the Democrats are 85-95% against him. That's a lot. But yeah. Last night, something interesting happened. I thought that we were going to do really well in Georgia. They had two Supreme Court justices were up for retention, both Republicans. And the indications to me were the Democrats were going to do very well. It turned out that both candidates lost. Now, there has to be some context here, and this is very important. First of all, the last time they didn't vote on retention was 1922, when Richard B. Russell Sr. defeated a Supreme Court judge in a retention election. That is the last time that they lost. And I want to go through some things that happened in Georgia that are very important. First of all, Democrats outballoted Republicans by 7%. By the way, this is verified and authenticated. 53.6 to 46.4. Even though Republicans had two top ticket primaries, Senate and governors, and the Dems only had one governor. It was the biggest midterm primary turnout, total of both parties ever, 2 million. Democratic boosted our primary turnout by 48% over 2022. We raised an unprecedented 8 million on a Supreme Court seat, TV, digital, and streaming. Now, when you get your ballot in Georgia, I should have studied this more, and I didn't. When you had Wisconsin, where we did so well, that was the only thing you voted on. Everyone knew. You get a Democratic or a Republican ballot in Georgia. So you go through, you voted in a Democratic gubernatorial primary. You voted on some other things there. And at the bottom, it didn't identify, they don't run by party. It just identified incumbent or not incumbent. And a lot of Democrats assumed because they had a Democratic ballot that they were voting for the Democrat. You can see how this happened. But the surface story last night looked like it might have been a piece of bad news for Democrats who've been on an electoral roll. A real examination of the facts indicates no such thing. It is very rare in modern times, in the last 15, 16 years, that Democrats ever turn out in greater numbers than Republicans in their primaries. And this time it wasn't just greater numbers, it was 7% more. That's a very important context there. And I think it's important that our listeners understand that, because I was expecting something else, but I didn't go into it with sufficient knowledge. So for that, I apologize, but I just want to say it straight.
James, what you've been looking for, what I'm looking for is how blacks are reacting. My impression is, I know you told me, right. There was a big black turnout in Louisiana, and I suspect a pretty good one in Georgia last night. This Supreme Court, when they gutted the first part of the Voting Rights Act, Shelby and the Shelby decision 12 years ago, they said, well, race doesn't matter. Right after they did it, one state after another proceeded to enact impediments to black voting. I mean, it's just what they did. Now they've gutted the second part. And guess what? Guess what? State after state wants to make sure that there are fewer blacks. Roberts and Alito, I think they must worry there are too many blacks in the House. Actually, blacks constitute about 13.6% of the House. There are 59 of them. They constitute about 13.7% of the country. I don't want to have mathematical formulas, but the idea that we got a problem with too many blacks is just insane. And my hope and my expectation, I'm a little wary, but my expectation is that there's going to be a backlash among black voters this November.
So, Richard, Louisiana primary, in which is a different kind of thing. The combined Democratic vote compared to the Republican vote, now the Republicans spent $28 million, the Democrats $440,000, was 54-46. Black share was 34% in Louisiana.
Right.
Now, I'm calling for a new Democratic Southern strategy. Because if you go in Louisiana and you look at the governor's race coming up, and Jeff Landry is unpopular, he is eminently beatable, and you got John Bell and you basically got nothing else. Southern Democrats, particularly in places like Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Arkansas, probably Texas, should go after party switches. You go find a highly competent DA. And look, 20% of the Republicans in the Deep South are Republicans of convenience. They're not really into it that much. But it was like the old Democrats. If you wanted to win, you'd have to run as that. Well, go to pick out a guy or her or whatever who say, look, if you're in the Republican Party, you're never going to have a chance to get to anything. You'll be lucky if you get to run for state registrar of lands after you're 60 years old. You come in now, we're going to give you the keys to the car. You're going to have a base vote of 45%. You're going to be able to rebuild it in your name. We're going to raise money for you. And there you go. We got to start doing what they did back in the 70s, 80s. And we need to start going after party switches. I'm telling you, a lot of people will tell me, even Republicans in Louisiana, I don't like this shit, James, but if I don't run as a Republican, I'm doomed. Well, start changing that. We should have an aggressive party switching operation where we identify ideal candidates and we come in and we can give you a lot more than Republicans can give you right now.
Well, the Democrats are doing that in Florida, aren't they?
David Jolly. David Jolly is like a spectacular. Jeff Duncan in Florida, he didn't do that well in the primary. But yeah, but Florida's a little bit different. And Jolly, by the way, David Jolly is one of the best candidates of this cycle, period. He just is. And, you know, the
former Republican congressman, anti-Trump, switched parties to run for governor.
And he says he's not a, he didn't switch because of Trump. He switched because he's a Democrat. He's very good on that. Very, very good.
Yeah. You know,
but think
with
of
all
these switches.
There's some, sometimes
in North Carolina, I'm just going over, like North Carolina, you don't need it that much. You got Democratic talent there. Georgia, probably somewhat so too. But
you may need it in North Carolina for state legislative races. That state legislature has stripped the governor of power. They've done all kinds of really kind of sleazy things. So if you can get a couple, you know, seven or eight former Republicans running for state rep or state senate, that might help. You're right on the higher level. They don't need it. You know, James, we talked a lot about elections this week, as we should have, but let's not forget, Trump has got a war that he's botched up totally. He's dying to get out of, and he can't figure out a way to get out of, and people are unalterably opposed. Every day you read about some new blunder they made. The Times had a piece the other day that at one point the plan was to have Ahmadinejad, the crazy former prime minister. He was going to take over. Of course, that didn't work. And he also has an economy that just gets worse, and he keeps telling people how great they have it. You know what? When you don't have it great, you really don't believe it when some liar tells you you do have it great. So, you know, Trump can talk all he wants to about having a great week. He's having a bad season.
You know, if we had our friend Roger Altman here, we're going to need him pretty soon. I think what he would say is the most disturbing thing that he's seeing and people of that ilk are seeing is the rise in the yields in Treasury bonds. Mm-hmm. 30 years over 5% now, but for reasons that I'd have to have Roger explain to us in more detail, the 10 years is the treasury they really watch. And it's up at a high for right now, and it's continuing to rise. Now, you don't have to have a PhD in economics to figure out that when interest rates rise, it slows down economic activity, to wit, auto buying, home buying, business investment, a thousand other things. And I don't know, I don't quite understand it enough. But again, we're going to need somebody to explain some of this. Mr. Washington, the Fed, they're going to be hard-pressed to have much effect on downward pressure on interest rates right now. But this thing is going to be higher. It's going to be really goddamn serious. That much I do know.
It is a cause for great, great concern. It really is. And it's not just in America. It's a global phenomenon. But Barney Frank died on Wednesday. James and I agree that Barney Frank was one of the most valuable members, not just of Congress, of the Democratic Party and the country over the last 40 or 50 years. I have a special interest in Congress. I covered it for a long time. I've followed it. I think in many ways it's a more interesting institution politically than the White House. And other than the speakers like Nancy Pelosi and Tip O'Neill and leaders, I think Barney Frank probably was the most engaging and influential House member that I've known over that time. He certainly will be missed, but he's got a book coming out in the fall with some really good advice for Democrats, particularly for left-wing Democrats. So, Barney, thank you for your great service. Hey, how important is making a switch to Mint Mobile for more affordable mobile service. As James would say, it's very important. Now, if you're like us, you like your money to stay in your account where you can see it. Unfortunately, traditional big wireless carriers seem to like keeping our money too. After years of overpaying for wireless, we're finally fed up with crazy high wireless bills, bogus fees, and free perks that actually cost more in the long run, and decided that making the switch to Mint Mobile is a no-brainer. Every month you wait is money that could be in your pocket. We've seen how quick the savings add up when you take back control of your cell service. So stop overpaying for wireless just because that's how it's always been. Mint exists purely to fix that. We all deserve affordability, and Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. It's easy. Bring your own phone and number, activate with eSIM in minutes, and start saving immediately. There are no long-term contracts and no hassles. It's time to ditch overpriced wireless and get 3 months of premium wireless service from Mint Mobile for $15 a month with service and a price that we strongly recommend. You can make the switch. This is probably an understatement. We may not be the most tech savvy, but James and I could handle it easily. We really could. The website is incredibly simple to navigate, and we could get down to business in no time. That's when we knew we had to get our kids and grandkids using it too. Hope you're listening, Kai. Like all of you, they have a lot more important things to spend their money on. So if you like your money, Mint Mobile's for you. Shop plans at mintmobile.com/war room. That's mintmobile.com/war room. The link is in our show notes. Upfront payment of $45 for a 3 month 5 gigabyte plan required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customer offer for first 3 months only, then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details. You know, our guest today is the perfect for these times. It's Fred Wertheimer, who's been a champion of clean and open government and fighting corruption since I first met him more than 50 years ago. I think we were probably just teenagers, Fred. He was a Common Cause, which he later headed. Now he runs Democracy 21 and is a prolific writer about government corruption. Fred, you were not here for Teapot Dome, but you were for Watergate and lots of other Washington scandals. How do you compare what's going on right now to those in the past?
Well, nothing like this has happened in the 250-year history of the country. President Trump lives in an alternative universe on many things, and he certainly does when it comes to ripping off the presidency to obtain enormous wealth for himself and his family. You can't imagine this unless you see it happening. Trump increased his wealth in 2025 by $4 billion to $7.8 billion. Eric Trump became 10 times richer, ending up worth some $400 million. Donald Trump became 6 times richer, again reportedly, ending up worth some $300 million. Even Barron Trump, who's still in college, reportedly ended up worth some $150 million in 2025. That's probably a little bit more than you're worth, Al.
Shows you the value of a college education,
absolutely,
Fred, doesn't it? You know, this week, the one that really got me, they launched a $1.776 billion slush fund controlled by Attorney General Blanche, a Trump lackey. So it's really controlled by Trump. They're going to appoint some 5-member board, which he can dismiss anytime. The money would go to anyone they claim was victimized by previous investigations. So any of those January 6th criminals who beat up Capitol Police would be eligible. And you can bet that some of it's going to somehow go to Trump. It always does. Fred, how is this legal and can it be stopped?
I don't know the answer to that. I heard one analysis saying that the fund they're using has to be based on a legal settlement in court or something similar to that. And this was an illegal settlement, but who's going to enforce it? I mean, this is the greatest slush fund in American history. And Trump as you say, he negotiated it with himself. He set the terms. He created a provision that exempts himself, his sons, and his organization from any tax liability for past taxes owed. The New York Times reported today that this could wipe out a $100 million penalty on Trump. So I don't know the answer whether this can be stopped. It's either a crime or it should be a crime. The one thing that appears clear is that a future Justice Department could tell Trump that this statement is not worth the paper it's written on. They could stop it. But, you know, it's not just...
Because this is being misreported. I read it on the radio this morning. It said, well, Trump gave up this $10 billion suit he had against the IRS, and it said that, I'm sorry, that IRS suit was deeply flawed. Number one, it was filed because someone leaked his tax returns. Just 3 points to keep in mind. Number one, it was filed after the statute of limitations. Secondly, it seemed very apparent the judge was about to throw the suit out, and the best Trump could have hoped for was an apology like Ken Griffith of Citadel got where his returns were leaked. So Trump didn't give up anything in that $10 billion suit. And on tax returns in 2016, he promised to release his tax returns, as all presidents have for the past 40 years. And I know it comes as a shock to you, Fred, but guess what? He reneged. He lied. He hasn't released anything.
Well, it's 10 years, but I'm still waiting. Look, this is extraordinary what is being done here. This is labeled an anti-weaponization fund, and the only one who's weaponizing the Justice Department is Trump to carry out his revenge retaliation tour campaign. The Biden Justice Department actually indicted Biden's own son. So this qualifies as crazy. And if the Republicans in Congress don't speak up against it, they will be complicit in ripping off American taxpayers. You're paying for this, Albert. I'm paying for this. And everyone who's listening to this program is paying for this gigantic slush fund for Trump to use like his personal money to distribute however he wants. And of course,
That's a really important point, Fred. This is taxpayer-funded money. This is not private money. It's taxpayer funding. And you're so right about the Biden Justice Department, which they said caused all this because of all the things they supposedly did. They not only indicted the president's own son, they also indicted the senior Democrat on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, Democrat Robert Menendez. They indicted the Democratic mayor of New York City, Eric Adams. Fred, you may have more information than I do, but I don't know of any Republicans that this Justice Department has indicted or any friends of Trump. And I think one can make the case that this Justice Department, this Attorney General, are more corrupt than John Mitchell and what was his name, Harry Daugherty, and Mitch Palmer put together.
Well, they did indict Trump, and that's what this is all about. This is his revenge tour. He's going after perceived enemies and opponents. It is totally irresponsible. His Justice Department is carrying this out. It could not be more un-American than what Trump is doing right now. And You know, he has an unquenchable thirst for money. He goes after billions in crypto money, but he also sells for $55 a multi-pastel hat, a Trump hat. He cannot, he's never satisfied. And he is ripping off the presidency for financial gain. Not just like any other president, but if you added all the presidents combined, they would not even become close to anything like what he's doing. And, you know, corruption takes some time to take. I have seen that over and over again. And this corruption is taking now. The public is finally getting to understand how corrupt this administration is, and they are going to hold him accountable one way or the other, even if the Republicans in Congress sit in their hands, stay silent, and let this aberrational performance continue.
Fred, the legal community, I think, has risen to the challenge. They're going after his ballroom, his 250-foot golden arch that would demean Arlington Cemetery, the lawless immigration actions and pounding funds and everything else. So I think there are a lot of lawyers who are doing good work. But there are two problems. One, there are so much here. There's so much here, and Trump is able to delay. And secondly, some of the bigger stuff is going to end up in the very Republican Supreme Court.
Yeah, not only lawyers, but many lower court judges are doing a terrific job. And they include judges appointed by Republicans as well as Democrats, judges appointed by Trump. But the legal process is a slow process. And Trump understands that. And he delays and delays and delays. And the Supreme Court to date has been passive at best and partisan at worst. And so it's a problem. I'm not giving up on the biggest issue here, which is Trump's efforts to steal the 2026 and 2028 elections, which he no doubt will do. He tried to steal the 2024 election when he was out of power.
2020 election.
And he will do everything he can to prevent the Democrats from taking control in Congress. So that is going to be the ultimate test for what has been a Republican-oriented Supreme Court for some time now.
Fred, what of his many, many dubious illegal acts, what do you think realistically might be stopped in the next, you know, 6 months, year? And what do you think is going to be much harder to stop?
Well, it's hard to say. Maybe the arch, 250-foot arch he wants to build, could be stopped. Maybe the ballroom will be stopped. The Republicans are having a lot of trouble authorizing the $1 billion for the ballroom. And if they don't authorize something for the ballroom, you have a judge who is ready to say and has said that he needs congressional authorization for the ballroom. What has to happen here is the legal community, and there are, as you say, there are lots of lawyers, lots of nonprofit groups who are going after everything he does, and they have to hang in there and stay tough. You know, his numbers today are awful. And he, but you know, it's interesting. He doesn't care He doesn't care about anything. He wants to
Fred, I disagree with you. He cares about this election because if the Democrats take over the House, and particularly House and Senate, then there's going to be investigations, there's going to be subpoenas, there's going to be, and, you know, you can't stop him from doing some stuff, but boy, you can create all kinds of problems.
Well, I agree with you, he cares about the election. He certainly doesn't care about doing anything to make it easier for Republicans to win the election. He keeps doing stuff that undermines them everywhere they turn.
And also, Fred, you know, look, they're going to win the House. I don't have any doubt of that. And they may win the Senate. And they can then stop some bad stuff from happening, pass some symbolic measures, but they can't pass any agenda with Trump there vetoing stuff. So there's going to be a real premium on accountability, on investigations, on probes. But there's so much. Any early advice on how Democrats can prioritize that?
Well, they have to, first of all, prioritize how they're going to demonstrate that they are for affordability, that they are opposed to corruption. You know, they can actually sue. The Congress can sue the president. Individual members can. And they can pick out some of the biggest items here. They could go after that fund, $1.8 billion fund, if it gets off the ground. I don't know.
Well, Fred, as I understand it, let me back up. As I understand it, the Congress can. Individual members can't sue on that fund.
That's it. Yeah. But if they control the House and Senate, or one of the body can sue the president.
Right.
And they can go after any number of things that he's doing because legality appears to be irrelevant to what Trump does. He once said, I can do anything I want. I'm the president of the United States. And that's the way he acts.
No, he believes that. He believes that. But I think my most encouraging thing that I have heard in recent weeks, months, is corruption takes some time to take, and the corruption is taking now. Fred Wertheimer, May 2026. Fred, I think and I hope you're right, and thank you so much for being with us today.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Al.
In the social media age, how important is it to protect your personal data from being shared online? As James Carville said, it's really important. It's the ball game. Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everyone vulnerable. Thankfully, Delete Me does all the hard work of wiping you and your family's personal information from data broker websites. Like us, Delete Me knows your privacy is worth protecting and it's easy to get started. Sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted. And their experts take it from there. You know, it's not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you don't want on the internet. That's huge, because in 2026, it's easier than ever to find personal information about all of us online. As public figures, we always knew we could be targets for scammers and worse. But when we found out how many Americans are compromised and at the mercy of criminals, we wanted to fight back. With Delete Me, you'll feel so much better about your security. But more importantly, as family men, we know Delete Me is something that can help our loved ones keep them safe. Join us and refuse to be a victim. Start taking steps to protect your privacy right now with Delete Me. Don't wait. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me. Now at a special discount for our listeners. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/war room. and use the promo code WARROOM at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/warroom and enter the code WARROOM at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/warroom, code WARROOM. The link is in our show notes.
All right, from my outrage, of course, there's only one outrage, and that's the $1.7, $1.8 billion slush fund that he's established. But to move on, I highly recommend a jaw-dropping article by United States Chris Murphy, which is in the just been posted on the Atlantic website, about how his 14-year-old son plays in a hockey league. A 14-year-old hockey league, and it's owned by private equity, and they don't allow parents to take videos of their children because they sell it online. Now, I got to tell you, that just blew me away. I mean, I know that a lot of these private equity people are talking about getting into college sports and taking over athletic departments and monetizing everything. But I never in my life thought that people would bundle and sell and make people subscribe to 14-year-olds playing hockey. But this is the commoditized world that we live in. I had to read the story twice because I honestly didn't believe it. And he goes into very, very rich detail. He's a very bright guy. This story is, to me, an indication that there's really something rotten in this fucking country. That's my view. Thank you.
Okay, my outrage tonight will be Stephen Colbert's last stint as host of the CBS Late Show. He's a genius, as insightful as he is funny. Once more than a decade ago, I went on the then Stephen Colbert show where he played a bloviating right-wing talk show host. Before we went on the air, he came back to brief me saying, just remember, you're on the set with an idiot. It was a terrific experience because of him. More importantly, I've watched him on The Late Show, cracking up over most of his monologues and blown away by some of his interviews. CBS canceled his show, they said, because it was losing money. I don't know the financials, but there is cause to believe it was canceled because of corporate interest. Paramount, which bought CBS, is looking to curry favor with the government. The CEO, David Ellison, is a pal of Donald Trump and a natural and frequent target. Trump is. Colbert. And the corporate suits don't want to get crossways with Brendan Carr, the political hitman running the FCC. Paramount came to view Colbert not as the great talent they had, but and should be fortunate to have, but as a political problem. So they deep sixed him. Now, I don't worry about him. He is so gifted, there will be outlets and opportunities, whatever he wants to do. But the cheap politics of Paramount CBS is deeply troubling. Anyway, thank you, Stephen, and look forward to your future contributions. You know, with new heat records, this week it reached the mid-90s in Washington. How great are Miracle Cool and clean sheets when you want to sleep your best? As James said, man, you need them. If you wake up sweaty, freezing, or just uncomfortable, take it from James. It's time to upgrade. The temperature in your bedroom can make or break your sleep. That's why you need to switch to Miracle Made Sheets. They're inspired by NASA technology and use silver-infused temperature-regulating fabric to help you sleep perfectly all night long. Sleeping at the right temperature is a critical way to feel rested the next day. And whether it's too hot or too cold, Miracle Made Sheets truly give you maximum comfort in any weather. They make pillowcases and comforters too. Plus, thanks to their antibacterial silver technology, Miracle Sheets require way less laundry days because they stay clean and fresh three times longer. Not only is that fewer wash cycles, but it's great for your skin. Hidden bacteria can clog your pores and cause acne. So sleep cleaner and clearer with Miracle. With no more gross odors, life is a whole lot better for your household. Join us in getting better sleep every night. Not only are Miracle Made Sheets smooth, breathable, and ridiculously comfortable, they don't have the steep price tag of other luxury brands. Miracle sheets feel nicer than bed sheets used by some five-star hotels, so it's a vacation when you get in bed. I love to think of myself over in Italy, but it's your call. Drift off to dreamland and wake up at the perfect temperature every time you get into bed. Choose Miracle to upgrade your sleep or give the gift of better rest. Go to trymiracle.com/war room to try Miracle-made sheets today. You'll save over 40%, and when you use the promo code War Room, you'll get an extra 20% off, plus a free three-piece towel set. They make an amazing gift, and with a 30-day money-back guarantee, there's no risk. That's trymiracle.com/war room with the code War Room at checkout. Thanks to Miracle-Made for sponsoring this episode. The link is in our show notes. And now for the questions from our really informed listeners. Rob in Rosemont, Pennsylvania. How do Democrats ensure that Republicans wear the corruption like an ugly suit?
Well, step number one, we have to win the Congress back. And that's very possible. In fact, highly likely. And then all we can do is bring out it at every point. And as his popularity declines, it's going to be more and more. If you look at the Times poll, he's now underwater on immigration. And we just have to keep pushing and pushing and pushing. And eventually, I know it's frustrating to everybody, but it should caught on more, but he's down about 36%. So we got to get the subpoena power back and chase him down.
Gordon in Norwood, Michigan, asked whether McMurrow or Stevens, that's Mallory McMurrow and Congresswoman Stevens, should drop out of the Michigan Senate primary because a left-wing candidate is right now running ahead in the polls, and he likely would lose in November. I think that's a really interesting question and problem, Gordon. I think if both stay in right now, there's a good chance that El Sayed will win. I think McMurrow is a stronger general election candidate, but I think most of the pressure will be on her to drop out. And I'm not sure what will happen, but right now I would say the Republicans with a pretty strong candidate, Mike Rogers, may be favored to take over the Michigan Senate seat, which would really be a blow to Democrats. Bree in Belleville, Illinois, said it's obvious that non-MAGA Democrats and independents need a leader to get behind and take advantage of the current momentum. You know, what's the type of person we need, the qualities, the focus? Bree, let me tell you something. I just want to give you just a little bit of history, not much, but at this very exact same time in 2006, who was the Democratic leader? Pelosi wasn't yet Speaker of the House. Barack Obama was just a freshman senator. Hillary Clinton had problems. There was no leader. And if you look at this exact same time in 2018, same situation. There was no Democratic leader. And I think that will occur when the presidential primaries start, the presidential race starts after the midterms. And that's almost always the case. The Democrats need to win the midterms first and then focus on those issues. You know, we love those questions, so please send them in next week. If we didn't get to yours this week, we'll try to get to it next week. Hey, thanks for listening to Politics War Room with James Carville, and I'm Al Hunt. As always, send your questions for us by email to politicswarroom@gmail.com or tweet them for next week's show at Politicon. Following this episode, we'd really appreciate it if you check out the links to our sponsors, Mint Mobile, Delete Me, and Miracle Made, in our episode show notes. We deeply thank you for supporting them because when you do, it helps make this podcast happen. Now, to keep up with us, subscribe to Politics War Room on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. And check out our Substack at politicswarroom.com. James and I are constantly adding new content, so go take a look. You can also find other shows you might enjoy on the Politicon YouTube channel or when you search Politicon on your favorite podcast sites. And remember, please rate the show with a 5-star review. We'll be back next week with another show as we continue our War Room planning.